Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. I'm Destin Legarian, and joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And PC Doug, James Duggan back.
Why is Doug here?
Why is EC Doug?
Where's Sean?
If you're listening to the audio version of the show, thank you. If you have some time, please take a moment and leave a review as it helps us grow. Today, we'll talk PvP, the big experience changes in D2, and some of the interesting marketing deals Bungie has right now. First, the news. This is the last week for Trials of Osiris in the first Destiny, and it's taking place right now. The map is rotating, and it's your last chance to partake in one of our favorite Destiny events. On the PvP news front, Bungie released a new PvP trailer for Destiny 2, featuring what looks to be returning exotics, new maps, Supremacy, and Clash, as well as a crazy new energy weapon unlike anything we've seen in Destiny before. Bungie also updated us on a few details about our characters in Destiny 2, including the fact that we will not be able to customize our imported characters and that PvP matchmaking is being adjusted in an interesting way. For the full game, we now know that they're loosening up the restrictions on who you'll be playing with in quick play while tightening them up in competitive. This may result in slightly longer matchmaking times for competitive matches, according to Bungie, so be ready for that when the PC beta hits at the end of the month. To ensure you get supers faster, they were also increased across the board, and to make sure you get at least one in a control match, the score has been increased from 75 points to 100 for a win. Beyond PvP news, there were some interesting Destiny 2 marketing tie-ins for broadband internet in the UK, and of course, Pop-Tarts and Rockstar energy drinks, which we already knew about. We'll talk more about how we feel about that on the full show. And that's a quick rundown of the Destiny news for the week. Let's chat PvP, guys.
Great job.
All right. So it's PvP. Chatting PvP. There was a new trailer release. Ton of stuff in there. I want to start on the exotic topic. Mm-hmm. So it looks like there were a few returning exotics, including Starfire Protocol, I believe it was. The one that gives you two grenades.
Yes.
For the Warlock. Stickies.
Yeah.
Sticky grenades.
Don't do one-hit damage anymore. Yep. That we know of.
Yep. So how do you guys feel about old exotics making a return? Fran?
I did not see that coming, but just for clarity, that hasn't been confirmed yet, has it? It looks visually the same,
exactly the same.
But assuming that that's it, always caveating, right? I didn't expect it. I didn't think that they, Sorry. I definitely expected it over, like, recycling content into Destiny is not a new idea. Yeah. But I just didn't expect it out the gate, but I do think there's a, that homage feel, and I don't mean it in a bad way, right? Like that, so, short of it is, didn't expect it. I do think it's cool if the choices are right. So, yeah, I don't know about Starfire Protocol. I think that plays into PvP, PvE a little bit maybe in terms of strategy. It always was a good one for that.
Do you guys think that the roles on that piece of gear, being an old exotic returning, do you think they're going to be the same, CJ?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that maybe we'll customize it. Bungie never usually keeps the name of the same maps. Like, that's what I've talked about with Sean. I can't believe I'm going to make a Halo reference. But every time they do a reimagining of a map, they always name it something different, give it its own little flavor. So, no, it'll be different.
So, Duggan, in Destiny 1...
Yes.
Sticky grenades are basically, you
yes,
throw
of course,
them,
as we all remember, sticky grenades from the game Destiny 1.
You throw them on people and they instantly die.
Is that how it works? Basically. I've never experienced that in any other game. Certainly none of Bungie's previous titles.
Definitely not.
We do not die.
We don't talk about that game. No, I'm just kidding. Do you think it's going to be adjusted? Like, how do you feel about returning exotic?
Well, I don't know that I can speak to returning exotics, but exotics in PvP are a very interesting thing because they have this unique modifier, this thing that makes them unique, that really fundamentally changes the way that you're playing with that weapon out. Yes,
important.
Right. And I think that that is a really interesting space in non-competitive PvP environment because, hey, you know, you worked really hard to get these weapons. You want to test them out on other people. That's really fun in a quick match capacity. It starts to get way harder to balance in a competitive capacity.
So you brought up the whole philosophy, just hanging out at my desk talking, the whole philosophy of Destiny 2 being more RPG based and
sure.
working together to accomplish a goal.
Sure. So I think the time to kill, we can all agree, from what we played in the beta, is higher in Destiny 2. And I actually think that's a really good thing. So I was doing an interview with Cliff Bleszinski about his new game Lawbreakers, and that game has a very high time to kill. And when you contrast that to something like Overwatch seems Counter-Strike-esque, you know. But he said we wanted to go for a higher time to kill because we want to do what's called the dance. And I think that works really well, especially in an RPG-centric game where you have to think about things like readability. Every single Titan I run into is not going to have the exact same loadout, the same weapons, be the exact same. So there's a little bit of a time where I could be like, oh, okay, he's a Sentinel Titan. I'm going to adapt my strategy for this. And then secondarily, I think when you have an RPG and you have all these custom things, like I think Risk Runner is a really good example from the beta for the Warlock.
Exotic.
Right, an exotic that when you get hit with arc damage, that gun goes crazy and starts shooting chain lightning everywhere, and it's awesome. If you died from a single shot to the head, you would not be able to use that weapon in PvP and kind of see that fantasy play out. So I think having more time to kill, as long as it doesn't feel bullet spongy, gives you a greater design space to play with and a greater space to kind of express your fantasy RPG style.
I think that's a concern, though. It does feel a little bit bullet spongy to some people, especially, you know, from a Destiny 1 DNA. Like
PvE or what?
PvP feels bullet spongy when you're playing against other people in Crucible right now.
You compared it just talking at my desk again.
Yeah.
From
Halo where the real
2.
Show
we're all hanging out at Destin's desk.
Halo 2 going to Halo 3.
Yeah.
You know, and you prefer the feel of Halo 2, which is more like Destiny 1, in your opinion,
yep.
to Halo 3, which is more like Destiny 2.
Yeah, and I mean, just thinking about even comparing it to other games, like Call of Duty's time to kill is very fast. I think there's something to be said about, you know, the skill level required for that. So I think it was a much more approachable game with a faster time to kill before. I wonder not whether or not that will appeal to many people coming in Destiny 2 for the first time.
After putting in 150 absolutely. Hours in PUBG, I absolutely love that the time to kill is reduced in Destiny 2 because it's like taking a break
sure.
from one-shot kills.
Yeah. I've never loved that. I appreciate the three tap and the skill on getting headshots. And if you're caught, you're caught and you're dead. But I've really enjoyed having a chance to strategize a bit more. And that's what I've been getting from, you know, when you're looking at all their notes and what they're saying. It seems like they're really trying to get the strategy better, that you can use things like you're talking about an exotic being meaningful. And so just having time to like adapt and think of things. And we're probably going to talk about it later, how they change grenades a little bit.
Yep.
Things have to have like more of an impact than just boom, you got stuck, you're dead. And I'm glad it's going in that direction, whether or not it's just too early to say if I'm going to love that in the long run.
I think the biggest fear though is that with a smaller version of everything, I just hope it's not I'm running away now constantly and you can hide. Yeah.
So I think CC has to play a big part in that. I wonder if we'll see an emphasis on CC weapons or abilities because I do think when you have a long time to kill with an energy shield, and you're not keeping anybody in place, and they have mobility skills to boot, you can just dip out. Yeah.
Well, my hunter can skip and reload their weapon.
And that's what a team is for as well in the map design. Like, it's not like you can always just run away, especially if you're with your team, so.
I love that in the trailer they're like, and Hunter's blaze the trail for the rest of us. Sure,
Hunter got the most time. They definitely, did you guys see that the Sentinel Titan can shoulder charge?
I think he kind of pulls
out the shield for a hot second. And
Let's talk about what the gameplay was like in that trailer. That's not what the game's like.
No.
It is a trailer. But like I thought it was funny too. It's like, and Hunters blazed the trail for all of us.
Yeah.
It's like one shot kill.
It was amazing.
The BTS that they didn't show is that the Hunter hits the first guy and the other three turn around and melt him. And then he's dead. Because that's what usually happens.
But they're capturing a vision.
It's as if it was staged or something. Exactly. It wasn't actually.
Yeah. It's capturing a vision. We've all had the occasional moment, though, right?
Yeah.
Where you do an amazing triple down or something. So
nothing that happened in that trailer. No. Have I ever
done. But the issue is right now, people are like, you know, looking at every finite detail. And just to have those in there with the damage readouts, that's the issue. Like, you should take the HUD off, I think.
It's a little like...
A little misleading.
It's not...
that's not how it is.
A little misleading. Yeah. And again, it made for an amazing trailer, but looking at what the community is saying, that's some of the issue. Like, why is a headshot, you know, it's never been able to shoot and melee and kill somebody. Yeah. It's it takes three melees now.
It's a really interesting example. Like, that trailer is for people to just kind of get them excited about Destiny 2. It's probably especially for people who've never played
it. Almost like it's marketing material.
Yeah, who never got into it. And it's not really for the people who know the new patch notes and how the PC beta is going to be a new chance to see the balance in different worlds.
Should you recut a trailer called Competitive Destiny IRL, just three people trying to get three melees up.
Exactly.
As possible.
That would be so good. Just my PvP footage where I'm punching somebody like 15 times.
But that raises the question. It's like, so do you think there's any potential side of this trailer?
I want to take that video. Now.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think this might be maybe a new higher power mode?
I wouldn't even think about that. No,
I know, but
it's a cool looking trailer.
Now, so actually, let's talk about a few of the other things I noticed in this trailer. First of all, they show Supremacy and Clash in that trailer, which is really interesting. We actually saw the Engram's Draught to be picked up. We saw that crazy new energy weapon. It's unlike any weapon that we've seen in Destiny before. Yeah. It's like close range. He fires a big blast and it looks like a portal gun almost.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also, we saw
Lucio.
Saw a few maps. Saw a Cabal map, the EDZ, Mercury, and a fallen ship. And I actually think one of these are the Javelin 4 that we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. I think it's the EDZ map.
Oh, yeah.
We saw it in the Kill Tracker Ghost. We're seeing it again now. They've talked about the name of it. We'll see you next week, but...
Mm-hmm.
It has man cannons. I'm thinking Javelin has to do with momentum. So,
August 28th,
that's my theory.
Still,
the PC beta.
Yeah, you said we'll see next week. It's August
28th. Oh, sorry. I can't never remember the date, but it's not next week.
We're a little over a week and a half.
What else do we have here? The weekly update, talking about the skill-based matchmaking. So if you hop into quick play, it's just going to be like, just get a bunch of people in there, play. I mean, it'll still take some stuff in consideration, but it's going to be much faster versus competitive, which they're going to take their time and get you paired with people at your skill level. How do you guys feel about that? I'm okay with it.
At least it's at 100 now, and the game's not ending in like 7 minutes.
Well, that's Control specifically. I'm talking specifically about before you go into
the
Control.
The match itself.
So quick play is just you play quickly. Competitive is they're going to pair you with people that are at your skill level.
Yes. And all I was saying with that is, at least the game now, when you're playing quick play, goes to 100, so it doesn't get mercied in the first, 5 minutes of the game.
Well, unless you hop in at the end of the match.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Sucks for you.
I don't have an issue with competitive taking longer, unless it's way longer.
Yeah.
Like, if it's 20 minutes.
What are you doing? Well, that would be insane. Just still waiting in orbit?
Yeah, so you'll wait in orbit. Well, it'll search.
Yeah.
It's probably like the Destiny experience now for Trials, for example. It's not that long, but it tries to pair you with people.
That's why Destiny 2 needs a forge for people to pass the time while you're waiting for
Well, we haven't. It's a good question, though. We don't know we probably can't, but we don't know for sure that we can't just walk around the farm and matchmake, right? Like, it's not like we've seen it really. We've never seen the connected
game. I did a tour of the farm, and I'm pretty sure you can't do that.
But you couldn't, take off to orbit and access the menus. I'm just putting
it out. We could fly around on the planet. Remember, we could just jump to the spots, but we couldn't queue into Crucible in the build we played. But it's an old
World. Yeah, you could jump around. But that's my point. Wouldn't it be nice, is the only point I'm trying to make, that I could just be in the farm doing stuff and then matchmaking? Wouldn't that be great?
I don't think so. But remember, during the beta, you could actually hit pause and then hit your pad, and you could pick what you wanted to do next. You could go right from your control match that just ended into the strike if you wanted to. So maybe that is something that would exist.
Maybe. But either way, I think, if any of you have played Overwatch, it's certainly at times you're like, oh, man, it's taken 5 minutes sometimes. Sure. It does happen, but it is there's a lot of factors going on. At the end of the day, the experience is normally really good. But as it pertains to competitive, I'm okay with that, is the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to get into competitive and you need a good connection and good skill levels, I'm fine if it takes a little bit, because that's the point. You want it to be a really good experience. Yeah, quick play, if it's sloppy, you still need a balance. I don't think you want to keep hopping into matches that are just way off in terms of the connection-based matchmaking as well as the skill. But I do hope it's just faster.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
We got to go over some of the overall experience changes. So real quick, let's recap, as Fran likes to do. I'm pretty okay with all the PvP changes. I'm excited. And the trailer, I was like, well, maybe you should take away those damage numbers.
it was exciting. Exactly. It was very exciting.
Great edit.
Yeah.
Great.
Totally not
really good. Yeah. It's like, hey, so you've increased the time to kill? No, you haven't. That's the next time. But they pretty much did a lot of those things that we won for PvP. So that's kind of nice, you know.
So your overall PvP take is pretty good?
Yeah, pretty solid. I mean, again, I would like a faster time to kill. So the trailer made me excited. I'm like, yeah. But all the stuff that you mentioned here, I mean, yeah, the score going to 100, at least for control, and yeah, grenades and all that stuff, that's a welcome change. Everybody was hoping that would happen, and so
grenades were nice. Fairly weak.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm. I want to see locked preset gear for competitive PvP.
That might happen. Locked, we know there are game types with locked loadouts, so we'll talk about
that. I'm sure they'll have at least a mode.
All right. That. Next. Sorry, Fran.
I didn't get to give my opinion, but I was going to say.
Did. I thought you did earlier. Sorry,
maybe I did. Anyway, I was just going to be lame and say it's just too early to say. I want to see how the PC beta is. They've made changes, and likewise, they'll probably make a couple little tweaks going into launch. So that's the one I'm ready to judge at this point.
That definitely makes sense, waiting for a full product to be released. All right, so let's talk about topic two, the overall experience changes. I'm going to go through all the notes I have here, and then we can discuss at will. Locked gear and weapon stats. That's something you wanted to discuss, CJ. How is that going to affect the overall experience? We know that grenades are going to be more powerful. We know at the end of the end game, it's going to open up a ton after you beat the campaign, according to the Heavy interview. More end game activities that other than raids, nightfalls, and crucible stuff like trials, I assume they're talking about. You can't when you transfer your character, you can't edit him, but it will show
or it.
Yeah. If you're an Exo, I guess.
Exo.
Or Awoken. You can't edit your character once it transfers. More pre-orders on Destiny 1 and more beta players than Destiny 1. Very impressive stuff. Mm.
They didn't give the time period on that though, right? Over how are they judging? You know, you got to be mindful of the marketing speak. I'm sure
I was on the earnings call and they said we have more pre-orders for Destiny 2 than we did for Destiny 1.
Yeah.
So
it's probably accurate. I'm just saying in what time period is it up
launch?
I assume it's life to date.
Yeah.
But you never know.
Yeah.
Caveat.
You can't read the fine print on all those slides during the earnings calls.
But meaning that has happened where it's like it sold better than blah, blah, and you find out, well, on the weekend. And then it's like, but not over the full time
period. On Thursday, but not Friday. So I just want to say about the locked gear loadout. So your armor and your weapons are locked. I love that. I love that you're going to be able to know that guy has the dead orbits.
Agree.
Yeah, 100%.
I got to watch out for him. And he has that weapon loadout. I know.
So I actually didn't realize this. When they were talking about it, I thought I just assumed weapons. I didn't think gear as well. And so gear was confirmed. Like, it sounds like he...
That's what you were saying.
It was, yeah.
That's why the show notes here.
Yeah, I know. But he used an example of where it says, you know, guns. But everybody's saying it's potentially gear as well. Now, if that's the case, again, say hypothetically, do you like that better? Because that eliminates a lot of the grind.
I like it a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do as well. I think readability is a big thing. I think that's straight up better for readability. I also think that that is more work for the developers, but a better experience for the users. If you want to get perfect role on this, you don't have to worry about that anymore. How are they going to supplement that time with additional content? You know, it's an additional headache for Bungie. So I think that's a really altruistic move, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, like the whole gun game that Destiny 1 is in right now of, oh, I'm going to keep going until I get that perfect palindrome, I don't like that necessarily. I would rather, like, I got the palindrome. What's that next gun that I want to get?
Yes.
What's that next thing I want to add to my collection? And I like that philosophy.
And I like that for the raids and everything else like that. There were certain weapons tied to, you know, this is Fatebringer. It's got this. This is whatever. But within the context of the armor, like, and I know there's no int strength anymore, but that being locked as well, you want just, hey, this is your raid drop, one piece armor, that's it.
But you're saying it's in terms of other perks? I'm just talking about perks, right? No other – I mean, again, there's no –
Perks, but like – so int disc strength is gone now. Mm-hmm.
That's
– but there's like, you know, resilience. What were the other options?
It's your armor, your mobility, and
agility. And health, I think.
Yeah,
mobility is
and agility. Is health, armor.
Yeah, and
speed.
Resilience, yeah. So what I'm saying
with
is –
fancy names.
Yeah, so now imagine if every single one of those armor pieces has the exact same drop on it every time. You like that?
I don't know. I hadn't really thought that for what I was trying to think about is in context of Destiny 1. Yeah. Like, are you saying you liked chasing 79 boots, or are you saying that you're worried about the perks within them?
No, the perks I'm not worried about.
It is about the numbers.
It's about the numbers. Because year one in Destiny, there was the magic 300. And at first, you didn't know what that meant. Then like, oh, let's explain this better and create tiers. Then it was like, oh, there's a timer associated with this cooldown. Mm-hmm. So I don't really understand, like, what's that number value based on? What does it go up to?
Cooldown? Well, cooldowns are neutral across the board now. So
right, but what I'm saying is like resilience and mobility and all that stuff. So you have numbers. It's like what was on my 100?
Yeah, like do you have max tiers and stuff is what you're getting.
Yeah, and like what does that mean? Like I feel like we've been here before in Destiny 1. I was really surprised that it feels like we're kind of going back to this like, hey, how does this actually benefit my character?
I mean, you get to pick what you want to stat into.
Right, but how does it affect my speed? How does it affect my health? Where is that information so I can see that?
Well, it's in your conflict, right? When you conflict with another guardian and you're getting damaged, you're going to see your health increase faster and you're going to notice a difference there. Maybe you didn't get enough time with the beta.
No.
Well, I mean,
no, but by how much? No. Think about what you're saying. So right now, when
we haven't had time to calculate the numbers. I'm sure if we went into a 1v1 and I shot at you and then we could calculate the difference if you had a level 10, health,
resilience, or whatever.
Yeah, but how? But when we like pause the game and like replay it in
when
slow
Datto
motion?
Makes the video.
Yeah, so that's garbage.
Well, I get what
that's
you're
what
saying.
That's what they do
though,
right now like, in Destiny 1 for all the weapons, though.
No, because when you have right now in disc strength and you have a certain build, you can see a timer there. It says your grenade responds in this. Your super's gonna like.
You're just saying it's funny that they've taken away some of the information to make it more intuitive and simple, but you're asking for the detail.
Well, especially
we don't know enough about it, though, right? Like,
no.
In other words, is there like a max stat that you're going to be chasing anymore? Because does that even exist? I'm not.
Yeah, I'm going to want max armor and as much health as I can get, and I don't care about mobility.
You're saying cooldown reduction is gone, and you felt that was the most impactful stat, as were health and armor. That's a harder to perceive.
Yeah, like
difference.
Where is that value?
I think the point here is, and I think this is actually speaking positively to the new change, because the point here is. When you get Risk Runner, it's shooting chain lightning everywhere, and that's what's different about that piece of gear as opposed to like some minutia of increasing your health by this much or your your armor by this much. It's just not as noticeable a change.
Yeah, and wait a sec though. Like in Destiny 1, your subclass, you do have this going on. What's funny is you have this already that you were experiencing armor changes and stuff, and you didn't have any more detail than you have in Destiny 2.
No, you don't.
The truth is they're just taking away they're evening out. Grenades recharge the same amount of time for whatever, and supers the same amount of time.
That was a piece of the grind I enjoyed.
I did.
I like getting max int, max this, max whatever I wanted. And kidding it out in a weird way.
I didn't. It annoyed
really?
Me.
Okay.
Well, I liked the concept. It annoyed the crap out of me that, like, honestly, I never could get a good matching stat. And there was no way to, like, infuse those into other things that I could, like – it was – honestly, it was not really that fun. And, like, to this day, I end up running stuff or changing gear, and I'm like, crap. Like, what was it on that gave me the right stat just so I can get the right super that I want?
I literally go to DIM, click T12, click equip, and then I wait. All right, it's equipped. Let's go play PvP.
Yeah, but if you change the stat on the same ghost for another role, right, it gets all screwed up. And then you're like, wait, why is it not the same? And then I can appreciate why people like that. I thought it was just too much of a
– interesting.
Just confusing and a grind.
Tedious.
Yeah, well, to me, that's what I kept literally me need, grinding in a way. Right. Like I think that a lot of people are going
to
be nervous.
But that's what I was saying. They need to supplement that playtime with something else. And I think that's a good thing for you because instead of grinding for a tiny, tiny, almost imperceptible – upgrade, you were going to be doing something that is hopefully interesting and engaging and taking advantage of other systems.
Yeah.
In the game.
You'll be grinding strikes to get the strike armor set like I was during the beta, or you'll be grinding control to get the control armor set.
Yeah.
You know, and I that's more exciting to me than, oh, I really want to grind PvP so that I get my
upgrade.
Calendar on.
Yeah,
0.2%. That's my philosophy.
The weapons, not so much, but the armor, I didn't mind it. Locked, rolls on all weapons, I'm fine with.
Yeah, I think there's people out there who obviously would agree with you. That's a level of grind that some people really enjoy.
People love it.
Much prefer the idea because I still just never got it. It's like, oh, if New Monarchy has an awesome robe and you really want it, either buy it or maybe it is something that drops. I like that when I get it, thank goodness I got a good one. Like to this day, I never got a good Ill Will. I never got a good Devil May.
Yeah, nailed it.
There's a bunch of devil.
I was gonna say devil may know. It was like devil,
devil, devil you know. Devil may cry. There's a devil you know. Yeah. Devil you yeah. don't. There's
it was the new. What got me was the new one in Destiny 2. I forgot what it's called.
Better devils.
Thinking. Better devils. Yeah.
I get. What, anyway, yeah. I get what CJ is saying though. He's saying he likes chasing the like armor gear. That, for example, the T12 chest piece that, or the T12 arms that also give you speed reloads on scouts.
Yeah.
Because scouts are your favorite weapon.
Oh, what a
weapon.
Pain, man.
Yeah.
And it's just like, now I'm just going to be like, no, I'll just equip the chest piece that does that.
Yeah, it'd be the other thing. Yeah, I'd end up getting boots without like, or let's take the helmet. Like I'd get an awesome helmet, but then it wouldn't have Ashes to Assets and Angel of Mercy for res and, you know, nade kill. It was just,
so there better be, I guess what I'm saying is tons of extra content or a lot of armor pieces to acquire, because to me that's what kept me playing the raid. Like, do you think there's going to be maybe more than one raid suit or one raid armor per raid?
No,
really, it's not to me. There needs to be, like, you're gonna have one raid, just get one armor.
Wait, how much perfect stuff do you actually have in your vault?
I have two or three perfect ones for the way I like to play in
PvE. Hardly anything.
Well, but it depends. I go back and forth between liking the way I look, like you a little bit, a bit of vanity, but then needing like Bones of Ao for PvP. So mostly I'm catered to PvP.
Oh man, don't even get me started on that. All my exotic stuff is kind of like crappy rolls. So I like the concept that when you finally get something good, it's actually good. And it's balanced for the game.
Yeah, my armamentarium is like a 60% roll, but I can still make it a T12 with other.
Yeah,
right.
Just because I'm a hoarder, I held everything.
Yeah, I'm tired of that.
Also,
we need to briefly talk. Friends got to get out of here hard at 1:30.
Yeah.
Odd phrasing. Anyway, topic three is some of the
phrasing.
Expanding into interesting pre-order incentives. They're making ice cube trays, Pop Tarts, Rockstar Energy.
I didn't see the ice cube trays.
Yeah, Christmas ornaments. This is from Numbskull. It has onesies.
What?
Destiny onesies, which we're all going to wear on the show. I'm ordering them next
week. Yes.
We're all going to have the Destiny glasses. We're all going to wear the Destiny onesie.
Dang, I need the stress ball, though. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I said Verizon, but it's actually Virgin Broadband in the UK.
Wonderful.
Athena Victoria Sparrow.
Which looks cool, by the way. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it does look really cool.
But, like, even if I wanted that, I couldn't get it.
Yeah.
It's not available to me. So, like, what, I don't know. I hate this kind of pre-marketing stuff that you have to go, like, track down. Like, for Titanfall 2, for instance, I had to go to Buffalo Wild Wings so I could have a Mountain Dew, Doritos, and Buffalo Wild Wings Titan and smash people with a giant billboard, and I did. But, this is whatever. I don't care.
Where's the Pizza Hut tie-in where you get an exotic that shoots Pizza Hut pizzas?
But it turns you into a pizza.
Chicken.
I would like just make it ridiculous.
True.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's kind of whatever, but it is a little crazy how many partners they have.
So wait,
right
with the Numbskull stuff, can you only get that stuff by like some?
No,
like,
there's no tie. Sorry,
those you
no
can just get.
Tie-in. Those you can just buy.
See, I like that. Yeah. Like when it comes to like you know, extra experience in the game through Pop Tarts and stuff like that. I don't mind that so much. It doesn't.
I haven't
last
seen
long,
right? a level of marketing for a product since like. The 90s cereal, the 90s Mario cereal, you could literally buy cereal.
I mean, Star Wars. There were Star Wars carrots, let's not forget.
I'm talking gaming, I guess.
Carrots?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
They're going all out, I guess. Oranges, whatever. Yeah. I don't like Pop-Tarts that much.
Yeah, I was going to say, here's my one idea, because everybody's showing the Rockstar drinks and the Pop-Tarts as like, we just need a Destiny and it's a little heart, like the care thing, branded an AED. Just a little defibrillator. Just for those long raid sessions when you're eating just nothing but Pop-Tarts.
They're trying to kill us with Pop-Tarts and Rockstar.
I'm trying to get a sense of like what is the most annoying? Sounds like you're a little annoyed by this. Like, why?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm annoyed by the broadband one because that Sparrow looks dope and I can't
exactly.
get it.
That's
that
why.
Yeah. That's the biggest.
And these other two, like, it's just stuff that I'm not going to consume that I would have to buy if I want to be a completionist. I have this crazy OCD thing about pre-order incentives and exclusive skins and promotional material for games, and I am a huge completionist.
Yeah.
So, like, this makes my life crappy.
Yeah. But there's not a ton of it, is my point, right? Like, there's the Sparrow, for sure. That's one. The other stuff is, like, what, experience and what you can go.
I just want to bring it up. I just want to bring it up because everybody's kind of talking about the Sparrow thing when it came out. And I was like, how do we feel about it? I'm just kind of like,
I don't love it.
I'm indifferent.
That's a lifestyle change. Yeah. Changing broadband and also like it's not in my area. Okay, whatever. Yeah.
Move to Europe.
Yeah, great. Thanks, guys.
I might buy some Pop-Tarts and let my children eat them. I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to give them to the kids and be like, hey, daddy needs you to do this.
Pop-Tarts.
You're just like, this is how you get in.
Throw that.
Exactly.
Take the rock star. And,
yeah, but I mean, right, no, for me, whatever.
I avoid energy drinks.
Because, oh, man.
Me too.
When I'm tired, I'll suck them down, man. Like, not that often.
I'll have a Red Bull, like, if I really need one, but. Yeah.
More than one, man. After a big raid.
You're not supposed to drink more than so many in a week.
I know.
Where's my exclusive weapon made of kale salad? I want that.
There you go.
Exactly.
2017.
The kale sword.
DLC 1.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We should probably wrap it up, guys. I know Fran's got to get out of here. One quick note. We're going to be at Gamescom in the next few weeks, and basically all of us are working on projects, so we are going to be back from Gamescom in about 2 weeks, so don't be looking for an episode next week. I will probably stream, and Fran will probably stream instead.
Follow us IRL.
Yeah, yes. So youtube.com/fireteamchat. You can check out what we're playing in the world of Destiny. Just wanted to let everybody know.
I will be streaming tonight because it is the last weekend of trials.
That's right.
So I had to throw that out
guys,
there.
Guys, we should try to play.
Yeah.
So we really should try to do a last
Yep,
emotional run.
Tears.
Yeah, I know.
You guys want to play together Sunday? I'll be on Sunday.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, all right.
We can do
done.
It. Sunday. Can't wait. You heard it here first.
Can't wait. To,
we're going
to
at least have one disastrous round where we all love each other for the first three rounds and hate each other for the last two.
Yeah, we hate each other. Thank you, Doug, for joining us today.
Hey, no problem.
Thanks, Doug.
I'll be back when PC stuff is here.
Doug.
I'll be excited PC about Doug. Things that you were excited about a month after you're excited about them. It's going to be like, have you guys seen this? Yeah, that's old.
Yeah, we've been.
Yeah. All right. Well, at least mine's 144 frames.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
So smooth. So smooth.
All right, guys. We got to wrap it up. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us. And until next time,
Guardians out. You're late, Doug.
Guardians out.
You're late.
He's like a month late.
He got it.
It's the PC thing. They have to get it first, and then I get to go.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.